In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. So this second week of Advent, we're in a series of Christmas with the prophet. And this week is in Micah. It's a book written in a time of turmoil. A people facing doom and gloom. In chapter 5 especially, this strong Assyrian army was a nation at the door of Israel, at the door of the ancient church, ready to invade and conquer them. They threatened every prospect of anything peaceful, any real stability or security that city had in themselves, especially for the ancient church, Israel. They may have even been facing death themselves there. And it turns out that when the church was backed into that corner, rather than turning to the Lord their God, turning to Jesus, the rulers, the kings, and the leaders of the day, they deliberately led the church in an opposite direction. They were of no help at all. They sought it in other things. And they went and looked everywhere else, like their neighbours that were around them, to secure their future, to secure their peace in many other things. And the earlier chapters of Micah actually shows us just how unjust, selfish, and proud and arrogant they became as a result of that. And how they took their eyes off their God. They engaged in injustice, evil, and even encouraged it. And they got complacent. In chapter 3 especially, they would say things like, "There is peace, because we have enough to eat. Everything's okay. And if we don't have enough to eat, don't worry, we just go and take more." And to them, that was how they went about life, about their business. But now in chapter 5, they were facing the judgment sent by the Lord their God. And so the book of Micah comes to this point is when everything has come up empty, when everything's gone wrong, who can bring true peace? Where does it come from? So we typically scurry around to find people to give solutions. Most of the time that's temporary. Hiding what's really wrong. It's like a plaster being put over a wound that never stops bleeding. And we find out that's the problem all along. And we already got a preview of this last week in the book of Isaiah. The king of Judah, Ahaz, he, at a time when judgment was in his door, coming to him through the Babylonians, he put his trust into the strong warriors, the political alliances, and an aqueduct. But very little love for the living God. And time again, the people were warned about this. And did they realize that the issues were love and trust, as though they were in a marriage relationship with the living God? And they received repeated warnings over this issue, that we can never fully trust or love our own ways towards peace, but in the only true Prince of Peace himself, Jesus. Just as we are told by Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 6, that he is the Prince of Peace. Consequently, God in his mercy, will go to wake everyone up of this. He'll bring judgment, giving everyone over to those enemies. In this case, allowing this army to lay siege to them, to the whole city, and scattering the church in exile as a result. But even then, whenever the Lord God does something like that, it's always with the intention of rescuing his people. Always with the intention of a process that purges out what's wrong and freshen out the good. And that's where we begin chapter 5. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod, so no one will be safe, even the appointed leader. Get struck, dishonored, not freed from the hardships that is coming. So who will bring peace then and lead the nation to safety? Heaven gives Micah the answer through this prophecy that in fact a baby will be born in Bethlehem. We might be thinking, what? There's an impending invasion. There's no peace. There's chaos. There's injustice. The rule and government is in disarray, and the answer is a baby? And that's it. It's Brilliant. It's actually a miracle because it's the impossible becoming possible. The immortal and eternal Son of God becoming a mortal human being, just like us, Jesus the Messiah. More so, he'll be born in Bethlehem. And then we thought, maybe a Savior would come in from an impressive palace, raised up in a big, powerful city maybe. But no, actually born in quite terrible conditions. Certainly not where you would look for our solutions to big national problems. But better yet, this baby's not even going to be born for at least another 100 years. But hold tight for now. Back up, tell the church to do this, and trust who this baby actually is. And you might think, how can they do that? It's because Israel, this ancient church, they already knew him. They have at least heard of him. And the same goes for us too. It says here in verse 2 that the baby is the one whose origins are from old, from ancient times. This baby, we born, is in fact the already reigning, the divine emperor, the everlasting God, who's looking forward to being born, looking forward to his own incarnation. And even when we read Matthew chapter 2, even King Herod understood that, because he didn't want Jesus around. So he would look up this very passage in Micah to find out where this true king is coming from. But he had other intentions for him, bad ones. This Jesus, this baby Jesus, the divine emperor of the universe, he may not be standing in front of them, in front of Micah at that time, or us, but he was always involved with church, throughout history and his people. He had always been available and meeting his people throughout history. He came to individuals whenever they needed him, whenever they might have even suffered. In Genesis chapter 16, Hagar, a church member who had problems within that, and she ran away to the wilderness, and Jesus came as the angel of the Lord to comfort her, and they talked there. In 2 Chronicles 33, a bad king, he hit rock bottom when he was put in prison. His name's Manasseh. There he called out to Jesus. Even there, Jesus was available for him and not ashamed of him in that situation. Eventually, he reinstated him into his kingdom. This baby Jesus, Jesus was always the same Redeemer who spoke to Moses in Exodus 3, chapter 3, as the angel of the Lord in a burning bush in verse 7. And he said this, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out in concern about their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering." So this Jesus then, available, saved them from slavery in Egypt, kept them safe, furthermore kept them safe afterwards, and fed them in a promised land, in the wilderness, leading them into the promised land. That was him all along. It was always him. But he saw his people also turn away from him, reject him. This divine Savior is always ready and available to help. He became the heartbroken lover to his people as they turned their backs on him, instead looking to rely on other things in first place to bring lasting peace, security, other than their relationship they had already with their God. To add insult to injury, Jesus warned the church time after time against doing that. It's written all over the ancient law. Leviticus 18 in particular, though you'll be going into a pagan nation, don't be like them in their practices. Don't behave like them. And even today, we may be feeling the weight of this as we sometimes fall into these same traps. And we found putting all our hopes and all our energies in something else before even considering the living God, the ever-present God, our ever-present help. And this arouses the anger of the living God and pushes us away from knowing Him true intimacy. Instead of trusting our own ways towards peace, why not look to this true Prince of Peace, Jesus? And that's Micah's take, this prophecy, where he's going to be born of a virgin, of the Virgin Mary. He'll be born as the one true shepherd who stands to gather and secure his flock. And he would be the only source of peace available for his people. Not just a source, but the only source. And he was ready to do that then and there. Because even though the church would be scattered as a result of everything going on, as a result of the siege, the invasion, the judgment brought to them, the Lord will still raise shepherds, warriors, whatever they need to guide the church throughout those chaotic times, to trust in Him only. And He was always there to draw near to them. And throughout all this, something else that may seem impossible becomes possible. If you notice, this is all happening to a group He refers to as a remnant of Jacob. A group of people represented by this person called Jacob. Now, who's Jacob? Jacob is a nation leader of the church, but it's fair to say he made his fair share of mistakes. He got things wrong a lot of the time, trusted in other things sometimes, as we all have too. And the example of his life shows us that we can never earn favour with the living God through our own schemes. But it was always the Lord Jesus Himself who was patient with him, generous with him, and available for him time and time again. Jesus never gave up on him, and it still holds up this high view for everyone He gathers up. Quite frankly, this gives us hope no matter who we are. That ordinary people, like Jacob, like us, we can maybe even be included and saved through this great plan of God the Father, who through Jesus will raise to life everyone everyone He gathers up into church, and they can then resemble. We can all resemble the divine Son Himself, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And this plan, this message, is a great hope for everyone, because it's to be taken everywhere. The hope for all humanity, all nations, will come from this group of people, from us, being led by the great shepherd Himself, Jesus. As these church people will be like dew from the Lord, or showers of grass, bringing life wherever it goes, whatever nations it's in, whatever the situation. But this people, this church, like us, not treated well by the nations, then it can be fierce, tearing up the enemies. This group may seem weak for who they are, but in fact they are strong, as they will depend on Jesus and only Him, and believe that He will never leave anyone where they are, but in fact raise them to live to join with Him and live the life that He proposes. And all the while the shaking and destruction is going on, He is that source of peace, even there. To trust Him, the Lord God of Psalm 26, the only one who has clean hands, the pure heart, who never worships an idol. In stark contrast with the arrogant and unjust human rulers that Shedmeir had, Israel and Judah had, that were totally the complete opposite. So Micah, in his prophecy, also gives us this vision, what Jesus will do with His people that He gathers up, as He gives them peace in amongst all that shaking. Because in that day, in verse 10, when the church gets taken over, in that day He promises all those things that distract us, take our affections away from the living God, He will destroy and deal with all those things. The world was, and the nations and the leaders were putting their hopes in their horses and chariots, their military might, their cities, their strongholds, all those accolades, all those systems, their wealth, their progress, all those false gods, etc., etc., that will all get shaken up. And he intends to do that. It will all be shaken up by him until we all know, until they know, we know that the only source of peace, the only true God, source of peace, is from the true God who loves us dearly, until our hearts and mind are set on him and on all those things above. And we will know true intimacy with Jesus. But look in verse 15. Even though he's going to do that, even though he's going to set us and help us look to him and help us trust him and love him, his anger will still remain on those who don't agree. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 36, he echoes this thought perfectly. John says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, but God's wrath remains on them." And we'll know that. But to even today, as it was back then, the Father's will is that no one perishes. So in fact, it's the positive thing that the church is scattered, that the church went out to where they were and had their hope, so they could bring the message of hope to everyone. As they endured what came to them, they would know Jesus, we would know Jesus really deeply, really closely, and share him wherever we are sent. The hope will come at a cost, but it does come at a cost, and it will happen in the midst of the shaking, but it also happened to the Lord Jesus himself, that divine emperor, born as a human being. As verse 2, when we read that Israel's ruler was struck, this was also about the true King of Israel himself, Jesus Christ. He would also get struck, mocked, and humiliated on his way to suffer at the cross. That's in Matthew 27:29. He knows what it's like to suffer and to be judged too. He's been there, and all the sacrifices in the world wouldn't appease this heartbroken God. So the Father offers to us all his own firstborn Son to fix all the mess. He will be completely familiar with pain and suffering leading up to being crucified on the cross, to die there, being offered up as a sacrificial lamb for our sins and mistakes, turning away from him, chasing after other lovers. He offered up to take that divine judgment that we all so deserve. And that's the love of God. In Romans 5:8, Apostle Paul writes that God demonstrates his love for us. Even when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As he died, he wasn't just fixing things up in a far off place, but actively drawing close to us, helping us to overcome the world, the flesh, and the enemy, the devil, just as he did, and would rise from the grave, and now raising us to life the very same way, as we trust him and put his words and life into practice in church, just like the remnant of Jacob did as they were scattered. And this is that baby from Bethlehem. This is who he would become. Jesus really is the living God. He really is the Lord God and God of all history, and is still available today. And I'll finish with this. Because there was a sense of waiting for Micah. He knew when he gave that prophecy that though a baby would be born, though he would be the Savior, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Anointed One, it may not have been in his lifetime. And though he knew he was surrounded by evil and darkness, and in truth he had a bad situation, and though he was surrounded by all that, and his prophecy is about the future birth of Jesus, Micah knew he never needed to wait. Throughout what he was facing, everything was being shaken up. Suffering came to him, dark times, the lot. He knew still Jesus, the living God, the Lord God, was available for him, just like he had always been for all his ancestors and throughout history. And in doing so, he could then sit with what was happening. He could then live with great hope and secure, have real security about his future because of Jesus. And he pens, he speaks some of the most powerful words of hope in times like this. In chapter 7, I just read out, it's from verse 7 and then ending in 20. I won't read the whole thing, but he says, "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Saviour. My God will hear me. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath until he pleads my case and upholds my cause. He will bring me out into the light. I will see his righteousness." And going to verse 18, he finishes with this. "Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will be faithful to Jacob and show love to Abraham as you pledged on oath to our ancestors in days long ago." Micah could trust that he was not forgotten by the Lord God. And he could trust that everything the Lord God has done, will do, this Jesus applies to him then, even though Jesus wasn't standing in front of him, but yet he was also always available. Micah could then celebrate Christmas then and there, even before Jesus was born, because he knew his Redeemer, his Saviour, Jesus, was ready and was ever present in his situation. And he could look forward to the hope that he gives. And if we feel like we have been losing, we have been overlooked, we've been in a bad situation, and 2020 has not gone well for us, or whenever, we found ourselves in a dark place, or either something we have gone into, or something that's happened to us, if we feel hopeless, crippled by it all, made some new wrong turns, need a new beginning, then Christmas is for you. Jesus is available for you. Even now, just as he has been throughout the whole of history, we can call out to him today, this Christmas even. Are you, if you're listening at home, willing to receive him this Christmas? Jesus is being given to everybody. He stands at the door knocking, ready to come in and dine with all of us. Will you open the door to him, to the only hope we have in times of turmoil, to the only God who can bring peace, to the only one who can bring life-giving transformation, a peace that surpasses all understanding, meaning, hope, and most of all, a relationship where we know we are loved by him, the Saviour of the world, but the divine lover who has never stopped, the divine husband who has never stopped loving his church. He stands ready right now, this Christmas, 2020, just as he has always been. And we can Hold on to these words of Micah and trust him. Trust everyone who have talked about Jesus, that have met Jesus. Let Jesus in. Turn our hearts and minds to him. Love him. Know him in church. Come into church to know him and never let go. And we can come as we are to do this. And watch him, observe him, admire him, witness him bring peace within the turmoil. And love us as his people and know that he's close to us in whatever he's going through. It's because that's just who he is. And he's never been anything different. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, is for everybody. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed all the praise, all the honour, all the glory, all the majesty, now and forever. Amen.